Come toward the 16th pole. It's two Phils prevailing right now. Two Phils in front. Free sold out toward the inside. It's Dinkshul on the outside. Two Phils and Jared Loveberry home with 50 yards left to go. Two Phils. Going to go to win it by two.
To the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. You heard it in the opening there, Jareth Loveberry. Got the win with two Phils at Colonial Downs last summer. Jason Beam with the call there. He's gone from Great Lakes down in his past to Colonial Downs in his not the more recent past to currently having a horse in the Kentucky Derby in his presence. And Jareth Loveberry will join us in about 15 minutes on Off to the Races. We're also going to speak with a driver up at Shenandoah Downs who made his 53,000th start last weekend. Actually had a chance to go up there with a friend of mine from Waynesboro and bet some races, had a good time up there. Great air, just great feeling up there on that Sunday. But we'll speak with David Ingraham, who started his 53,000th race last weekend up at Shenandoah Downs. Larry Johnson will join Frank Vespi, Living the Dream, in about a half hour or so. And in for Derby Bill this week will be Barry Spears from Daytona. We'll get his sights on, his insight, I should say, on the Kentucky Derby field. Derby Bill, for those who don't know, actually shortly after the show last week, learned of the passing of his mother, who was down in Disputana last Saturday night. And so Derby Bill tending to those matters. I don't think he'll be, our thoughts of course are with him, but I don't think he'll be out too long. I can just see by the text line that he's astute, but asking off this week and certainly merited. We couple of announcements before we get to the Lexington Stakes replay, which closed out the Kentucky Derby field, and the Tessio replay from Laurel last week. Some big news out of Laurel yesterday. A lot of announcements and news you'll see on today's show. Before we get there, just wanted to let people know the James River Horse Foundation is having an open house this morning from 10, just came over the wire, just out of the gate, down at the Goochland State Farm Work Center. So Debbie Dunham and Karen Fowler and Cindy Weldon are, I'm sure, all out there. And so if you happen to be in the west end of Richmond, go see what is really like a beneficial organization in the work that they've done. Reported on it last fall extensively on just the benefits of the program and the successes of the program. They are having an open house today until 2 o'clock. It just started at 10 o'clock. But let's go now to the Lexington Stakes, which was run last week at Keeneland. This was the last hope for so many horses trying to get into the field. Horses like Dennington, Prairie Hawk, Disarm, was in this group. The favorite was First Mission, and Kurt Becker gives us the call of the Lexington Stakes.
Arabian Lion with first mission, having plenty of room to the inside and trying to scoot up the rail to challenge Arabian Lion. Close quarters between this pair, then Disarm, and then Dennington. First mission keeps running up the inside. First mission grabs the lead. First mission, Luis Saez to win it.
First mission got the win, but Disarm got third, and that was enough to put Disarm, I think he stands 18th or so in the Kentucky Derby field. So Disarm, who was ridden by Jose Ortiz in the Lexington Stakes, won't be that. I don't think that's a situation for the Derby, but Disarm gets into the Derby field, earning enough points to get into the top 20. And first mission, though, gets the win, paying $6.38. Remember, they have the penny breakage out there in Kentucky. Brad Cox, the winning trainer. Godolphin, the winning owner. At Laurel last week, they ran the Federico Tessio Stakes, and 90% Maddie with Paco Lopez aboard really looked like he had the race, but that's not the way it turned out. Dave Rodman has the call.
90% Maddie, a furlong left to go, has survived that duel with Coffee with Chris. On the outside, eldest son, Prince of Jericho. Perform has come from the back of the pack with a rail rally, a rousing rail rally, now shifting off the inside. Here comes Perform and time! Oh, Perform, I believe, got it.
You can see why he was holding back if you've watched the race. You still don't know how Perform got his nose up there, how Fergal Lynch happened to get Perform's nose up there first for Shug McGahey, but he did. And coming from literally last to first to win by a head, it looked more like a nose to me. But Fergal Lynch gives Perform the win. Perform earns a free pass to the Preakness Stakes run at Pimlico in about 4 weeks from now. Joining us now on Off to the Races from Shenandoah Downs is David Ingraham, who just made his 53rd 1,000th start at the age of 61. I want to say it was with Rocky Bomber. And he joins us now on Off to the Races from Woodstock, Virginia. Good morning, David.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, and congratulations on the 53rd 1,000 start. I saw the picture there, got to the races there Sunday. I didn't see your career milestone there, but with the win, getting JD to put his arm around you in the winner's on the track apron or track oval there after your accomplishment. How did it feel? How's it feel to have that many starts? I think it's in the top 15 all time in harness racing. That's quite a milestone.
Yeah, like I say, you don't realize it until you see the the numbers and stuff like that. But that's quite a few times around a racetrack, that's for sure.
Now, you have sort of an interesting racing schedule through the calendar year. Most people, I think, would try and figure out how to spend their summers in Maine and their winters in Florida. You kind of do the, pardon the pun, polar opposite of racing between Pompano and Bangor Raceway up in Maine, as well as the fair circuits. Tell us a little bit about racing, harness racing in Maine, and just the way your calendar works. You really go from the coldest of the cold to the warmest of the warm.
Yeah, like I say, we usually go up there in the summertime and race around the fairs, and by the time the size stakes get done, then we usually head back to Pompano. But Pompano's not racing no more. But we still got a place down there. Been going down there for 30 years, so we still went down for 4 months this year just to rest them up and train them back. So come back up to here and figured to stop here on the way by and let it warm up another month.
Big racing day today at Shenandoah Downs with the Blue Ridge Pace, the Allegheny Open Trot, both $25,000 races. Those are big races. I think they're the biggest stakes of the meet. What are your thoughts? You've gotten to know Shenandoah Downs a little bit. What are your thoughts about the racing action midway up the East Coast?
Yeah, no, it's a nice track or whatever. I guess they put some different materials on it this past year or whatever, and supposedly made it a little bit better. But you know, it's a nice area to be around. The people are really nice, so having a good time so far.
Yeah, there's just great interaction between the town and the track there. 77, I think the last I looked, it was 7,700. Let me try it this way: 7,789 wins for your career. You're approaching 8. Hope to get to 8,000. I'm sure that's what's is that your next milestone? What are you looking to do next after such a big accomplishment?
Yeah, like I say, I'm, you know, hoping to get to 8,000. I know when I started in the business, I was hoping that I'd get 2,000 some days. So things have been good.
The do any of the wins, any of the races sort of stand out? You remember your first race, I'm sure, but, you know, anything really stand out more than others?
That was my uncle's horse, Race Me Yankee or whatever. They drove him up to Bangor. And my first win was down to Lewiston with Miles and Fernandez. So you don't forget those things. You know how that goes. I did actually win the cane pace at Yonkers 1 year. So they went for, it was 384,000. So that was a nice little win on the page.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on such a record, 53,000. It'd be a long time before anybody can eclipse that again, but we appreciate you spending some time. Congratulations, enjoy the racing. Hopefully the rain stays away long enough today, or happens before, whatever you have to do to get the racing in that starts at 1 o'clock today.
Yep, all right, thank you.
Great. David Ingraham, 53,000 starts. That's a you can see he's not fluttered, a whole lot fluttered, all business. And when you have that many starts, you can, I'm sure you can appreciate that. A couple of other notes. I did mention the two stakes races. Racing also lost on the harness side Wilma Foley this week. She was a member of the VHHA board of directors, and along with her partner, campaign horses like Keyword, and a horse that actually won after her passing, a day after her passing, Freak on a Leash, a horse that I happened to call when I called races up there a few times. So, Wilma Foley at 65 from Prestonwood, Kentucky, who is on the board of directors, passed away. So our thoughts with her family as well. Joining us on Off to the Races now is Jareth Loveberry, and he has two fills in the Kentucky Derby, and just a path in racing that wandered from the Great Lakes Downs, which is now a defunct racetrack, through Hawthorne and Colonial, and now is at Keeneland. So he joins us on Off to the Races. Good morning, Jareth.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Two fills is taking you from Colonial to Churchill, as well as racing at Keeneland, a stop at Turfway Park in Cincinnati with the Jeff Ruby Stakes got you, you know, such a great monumental win. Tell us about the Kentucky Derby is now 2 weeks away, 14 days away. What are your thoughts, and how are you preparing for such a legendary a ride and such a legendary race?
Man, it's an honor just to even be part of this race. I mean, it's the best of what we have in our business, and it's our Super Bowl. And being able to ride two fills in this race with the people that have helped my career over the last several years, Larry Ravelli, Patricia's Hope, and just the whole team there, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, Larry Ravelli, you've ridden for him for some time, rode for him with Colonial Downs last summer, as Larry had a sizable stable with the absence of racing in Illinois last summer right. during Colonial's meet. Did you, when you rode Two Phils, you were on his maiden voyage, and then of course his first win, his first race and his first win. So you saw progress there, Colonial. What were your thoughts last summer? Was this horse eye catching, or was this just sort of like, ho hum, we got a good horse here, you know, nothing special. What were your thoughts last summer when you were riding this horse?
In the beginning, he felt like a good horse. We weren't sure how good of a horse he was yet. And the first time we stretched him out at the Keeneland race, yeah, he lost the race, but it just, he showed me something in his race. I was like, okay, I think he's going to be a good horse. And I talked to Larry, and Larry agreed with me that just the way he was training, he wasn't quite ready for that race, first time, two turns. And then the next race, we won the Street Sense at Churchill, and he's really developed. He's really been a developing horse throughout his whole career, and I think he's peaking at the right time. He's been getting better all spring, and going into the Jeff Ruby, he put it all together.
You mentioned the Street Sense race at Churchill. That's a race that you won last fall, a graded grade three stakes race. This horse has seen Churchill. Not too many horses get to say that about the Kentucky Derby. For so many horses, Point Given was such a mystery, you know, why he didn't like Churchill Downs. Tell us how that Street Sense race. Tell us a little bit more about that and his performance in that race.
It was only his second time going two turns, so he's still a little bit aggressive going into that first turn. But I was able to get him back and get him settled. It was a nice sloppy track that day. And that's one thing, we were up in the air, like, man, he's been on fast tracks his whole life so far. Is he going to like the slop? I mean, it was really nasty that day, a lot of rain. But he just handled it, skipped right through it. And so he's handled the fast dirt, the fast dirt, the slop, the synthetic. I mean, I think he's just a good horse. He'll handle about anything.
I've been watching a few of these documentaries, not the movie, but the some of the documentaries about Seabiscuit, and they're talking about how Red Pollard was the perfect jockey for that horse. The two dysfunctional apart, but when they got together, it was just a great relationship. You're the only jockey that has ever ridden this horse in racing. Can anybody ride this horse, or is there a special bond? Obvious, your preference would be to have nobody else race this horse again. But, is there a special bond between you and the horse? Do you feel like there's some synergy there?
I think so. I think when I was first getting on him last year, he was very aggressive. He would want to run off and just try to do it all at the beginning of a work. And there was one work, I figured him out. I'm like, okay, Larry, I found his spot. Like, he has a little spot that you just hold the reins in the right spot. So I think knowing the horse, been getting on him for a long time, I think it does go a long ways. So I think, cross your fingers, I'm in the right jock for this horse.
Yeah, no argument from any of us here in Virginia who saw you ride this horse to a victory at Colonial last summer. You were, I think I have you third in the jockey standings at Colonial Downs, actually led for a portion of the meet in the jockey standings as well. When we talked to you last summer, you were in the lead early on in the meet and had a successful meet. What were your thoughts just about Colonial Downs, and maybe thoughts, for this summer in the racing there?
I love Colonial. It's one of the best turf courses you'll have. And, I mean, the dirt wasn't no shabby either. I love Colonial, the whole area. And this summer, I'm not exactly sure. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. I'd love to come back. But right now, I'm not quite sure what's going on after Churchill.
Yeah, focused on the Derby, yep. For sure. The Your path, you started racing at Great Lakes down in Michigan. You know, did you ever think that you would make it to the Derby when you first started racing? I know it's a thought, but this would be your first mount. I do have that right, correct?
Correct, yeah. This would be my first Derby mount in 18 years. 18 years of riding. So when I first started, no, it wasn't even really something I thought about. It didn't seem obtainable at the time, but a lot of hard work and just keep grinding, building up, it's like, okay, now we've got there.
You're currently at Keeneland and in the Elkhorn today. Another mystery is a bit of a long shot, 15-1. You'll be looking over at Red Knight, who is probably a horse you raced against at Colonial Downs last summer.
Yeah, we did.
You know,
yep.
Give us your thoughts on the Elkhorn Stakes, mile and a half on the turf.
Me and another mister, I've rode him quite a few times, had a couple wins on him, and like I said, I ran against Red Knight last year. I think I ran second to him, and just looking forward to a good trip. I mean, got a little bit of rain here yesterday, softened up the turf. Hopefully it evens it out because it's been a little firm, fast turf course, and I think we're going to need a little bit of a pace to run at today.
The going back to Two Fills here, I saw that his last workout posted was April 16th at Hawthorne. Did you happen to ride him that day, that morning, or do you have an exercise rider that works with him? And, you know, what, if you do, what's the sort of chemistry or communication like between you and the exercise rider?
I wasn't able to work him that day. I was in Keeneland that day of racing, but Larry has his guys that get on him regularly, and he knows him. He's been on him quite a few times, and I talk to his gallop boy frequently. And he said he's doing really good. He's came out of that work good and galloping good. So I do talk to the gallop boy quite frequently.
I did see where Larry is planning on just bringing him like the week before the Derby, going to keep him away from, you know, what can be noisy at Churchill Downs leading up to Derby until the week of. What's next for Two Fills? When do you think his next work would be? And you know, what's these few weeks leading up to the Derby going to be like for you?
I'm not exactly sure what Larry's exactly plan is. He likes to keep that stuff pretty close to the vest. But me myself, I'll just keep working, riding, and staying fit and focused on day to day, and then when we get closer, it's like then we'll start focusing in on strategy plans and everything like that.
And, you know, a lot's been made of that Jeff Ruby Stakes, mm-hmm. in terms of it just being such a fast race. It's only a grade three, but it still carries, you know, all the points. It is on the synthetic. Do you think you know, what sort of clicks so well there, and does you think, have you seen, like, you know, added attention being given because of that race more than it maybe should have or typically does, I should say?
I think the way he did it, the way he won that race, and the numbers that came out of it, I think it picked some people's heads up. But I think that's like the biggest thing that came out of that race for attention wise. Me personally, I just thought he was peaking. He keeps going and getting better in these spring races. So me personally, I just thought it was him just showing off what he's been capable of doing.
Great. Well, good luck in the Kentucky Derby if we don't have a chance to catch up before, and enjoy the ride, as they say. You know, a ride in the Derby, that's a special thing, and we'll be watching and cheering you on. Jareth Loveberry, thanks a lot for joining us on Off to the Races this morning, the rider of Two Fills in the Kentucky Derby.
Thank you very much.
Jareth Ledbetter, joining us on Off to the Races. And, yeah, good luck to him with two Phils, who will start in 14 days at Churchill Downs. We're going to break on Off to the Races. When we come back, Frank Vespi will take the reins, and he's living the dream. A little bit of a nightmare up in Maryland. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break as well. And Barry Spears is still in front of us. We got live racing action at Keeneland. Big day at Keeneland, big day at Oaklawn. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Live racing at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races rolls on every Wednesday through Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern through March 1st and every Thursday through Saturday through the month of October. Mark your calendars for Friday, August 25th for the 15th renewals of the Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 $750,000 Charlestown Oaks, now the richest three-year-old Philly Sprint Stakes race in North America. So come see us here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Learn more at Hollywood Casino Charlestown.
The first ever spring harness racing season at Shenandoah Downs kicks off April 1st. No fooling. Post time every Saturday and Sunday is 1 o'clock. Parking and admission are always free at Woodstock, located off of I-81 in the cradle of the Shenandoah Valley. Disappointed that you can't make live racing? Wager online with Twin Spires, TVG, ExpressBet, Naira Bets, or at any Rosie's Gaming Emporium or Virginia Horseplay OTB. Find out more at ShenandoahDowns.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here, stepping in at this point on Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz, TheRacingBiz.com. Going to talk with Nick in a couple of minutes. Some stuff happening at Laurel Park. No racing today, no racing yesterday, no racing tomorrow at Laurel because of track issues. Had they raced today, one of the five stakes on the schedule was the King T. Leatherberry Stakes. Last year's winner of the King Leatherberry was the then 8-year-old True Valor. True Valor was coming off a 13-month layoff, 8 years old. No problem. Just comes up and wins King Leatherberry Stakes, runs a couple more bang-up races before the end of the year. He's now standing at stud at Northview Stallion Station. And his owner, Larry Johnson, going to join me right now. Larry owns Legacy Farm in Bluemont, Virginia. And Larry, welcome to the program.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Frank.
Well, I appreciate you making a few minutes on a Saturday morning. I know there's better things to do, although apparently racing isn't one of them. Let's talk about True Valor here a little bit. That was a pretty cool moment when he comes off a 13-month layoff and wins the Leatherberry on just about this date a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was. You know, Graham had done a remarkable job, and you know, we took a risk bringing back an 8-year-old off of a 13-month layoff. And he ran terrific that day, and he followed that up. He raced two more times in 2022. He was beaten a length in the Grade 1 Jiper to Casa Creed, who's a multiple Grade 1 winner, and then followed that up with a race at Saratoga in the Grade 3 Troy, which we unfortunately had to run against Golden Pal. And, you know, we out-sprinted Golden Pal and lost a bob at the wire to that horse, who was multiple Breeders' Cup sprint winner. So he followed the King T. Leatherberry up with two really terrific performances. And those were coming off, as you said, a 13-month layoff where he'd been injured when he went to the Grade 1 Golden Shaheen and on Dubai World Cup Day. So really cool racehorse, lots of ability, versatility, distances, surfaces, and I really look forward to his stallion career.
It should be interesting to watch as he develops. He, you mentioned his versatility. I mean, he ran those three fabulous races sprinting, but he also is a graded and group stake winner going around a ground.
Yeah, before I purchased him, which I had done at a horse of racing gate sale, he'd already won a Grade 2 and a Grade 3 in California going a mile. He went a mile and 32 and change, I think, at Santa Anita. He was also a Group 3 winner in Europe. again, going long. So he's a horse that, you know, won stakes from 5.5 up to a mile. He ran triple-digit buyers at all of those distances as well. He also won on the synthetic at Woodbine. So he's got versatility both in terms of distances and surface. And, you know, he ran against the best. He ran, frankly, against the best in the world.
He's also a horse, you know, in an era when a lot of horses, you know, are flight line and they race six times and they're fabulous and then they're done. This is a guy who raced from his two-year-old season all the way, as we were just talking about, through his eight-year-old season and ran good races in just about all of those seasons.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, so we're so quick in this country to send horses off the stud off of three or four races and protect their stallion value. And then you see what can happen if you actually give a horse to continue to be what they're bred to be, which is racehorses. You know, he was a stakes performer for five consecutive years. And as I said, it was, you know, it was serious races against serious horses. And, you know, I think, frankly, his best efforts were when he was an eight-year-old, which is, some might view as remarkable, but I think they demonstrate what can happen when you give a horse a chance.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Now, talking with Larry Johnson, owner of True Valor, True Valor standing at stud at Northview Stallion Station in Chesapeake City, Maryland. And Larry, let's talk about his breeding for a minute here, because he was bred in Ireland, and you know, his breeding is sort of very popular in Europe, but we don't see much of it here. He's by Kodiak out of an acclimation mare. Talk to us about what that should be telling us.
Well, it should tell you speed and precocity. Kodiak made it the hard way. I started out with, you know, a lower quality of mares and not a lot of opportunities. For 5 years in a row now, he's been the leading sire of two-year-olds in Europe. He's also been the leading sire of number of horses, of winners in Europe for five consecutive years. He's had now five sons that have gone to stud that have sired graded stakes winners, and including a couple of grade one winners. It is speed. It is precocity, as demonstrated by the results of his two-year-olds. He's out of an acclimation mare. Again, acclimation is speed. It's European speed. I think he's got a terrific pedigree, although perhaps not so recognizable in this country. I think that if you look even in this country, Stone Street has, and Barbara Banky's operation has had a couple of Kodiaks, including Campanelle, who's a grade one winner. They currently are campaigning a half sister to Kodiak. A half sister to True Valor. I think that he's got a pedigree that will translate, and he's got the performance that will translate to, I think, a success in this country. Obviously, the focus is on his background is turf. There are, I think, an increasing number of opportunities for turf racing in this country, whether it's in the Mid-Atlantic, including Colonial, or throughout the country. He also, as I said, True Valor was a winner on synthetic. And if you look at what New York's doing, putting in a synthetic track at Belmont, I think there's going to be even additional opportunities for horses that demonstrate the dual versatility of turf or synthetic. I don't rule out dirt, but certainly if you breed to him, there's a, you know, the reasonable likelihood that, you know, you likely are going to get turf. But as I said, I think there's just an incredible number of opportunities, both in number of races and, more importantly, even the money that's available. You know, take a look at the, you know, any day's card when the turf season's in force, and, you know, the entries are filled on the turf races, and they have a hard time making the dirt races. So I think turf racing is popular. It's financially viable, and I think it's something that sometimes the commercial marketplace overlooks.
What kind of physical is this horse? I mean, is he a big horse? If I bring my mare to him, what am I going to see when I walk up to True Valor?
Well, he's correct. He's balanced. He's athletic. He's 15'3". though he's not an overly big horse, which is frankly consistent with Kodiak and a lot of what you see coming out of Europe. But I think what you're going to see is a well-balanced, correct individual, and one that, you know, the offspring I fully expect are going to be precocious. I mean, I look forward to when we, you know, I know it's years out, but when his first crop of U.S. horses get to the races, I think they're going to be what you've seen from not only Kodiak but Kodiak's sons in Europe, and they get 2 year olds and they get quality 2 year olds.
Now, Larry, he is standing in Maryland, so that would make his offspring will be Maryland Million eligible. You could also, of course, foal in Maryland, and then you get a Maryland bred. But another option that's also available, which doesn't preclude any of the others, is to send him to Virginia for a little while and get him Virginia certified. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I know personally has been rewarding for me, because you do have the opportunity to not only be eligible to run for the Maryland bred money in Maryland, but if you establish, you know, residency under the Virginia Certified Program, you've got an opportunity to earn bonuses for wins throughout the whole Mid-Atlantic area, from New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Virginia, et cetera. So I think that there's a substantial number of opportunities that a Maryland-based sire can have in terms of their offspring if they go the route of being a Maryland-bred but a Virginia-certified horse. You can see a scenario in which, you know, with a 30% breeder bonus in Maryland and a 30% owner bonus, and a 25% Virginia certified, that a horse that's running in Maryland, that's Maryland bred Virginia certified, is running for as much as an 85% bonus. So I think there's terrific financial opportunities and incentives.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one right there. Are you going to be sending some of your own mares to True Valor?
Yeah, I think right now the number is, you know, it moves a little bit, but maybe 9 or 10. But more importantly, it's quality. You know, the dam of Spun Glass, who's herself a multiple stakes winner. The mare's a mare named All We Want for Christmas. She herself is multiple stakes placed. I'm sending her to him. I'm sending two horses that won Maryland Million Stakes to him. I'm sending a few others that are turf stakes winners. I'm sending an Indian Charlie mare who's multiple turf stakes placed at Churchill to him. So I think it's not just about, you know, the number I might send, but the quality of his mare. So I'm going to give him as much chance as possible and support him not only with numbers but with mares that are clearly have shown the ability to produce a successful racehorse and them who themselves are successful racehorses.
All right, True Valor, standing at Northview Stallion Station in Maryland. True Valor's owner, Larry Johnson, has been joining us here. Pretty interesting, really one of the more interesting stallion prospects to come to Maryland, to come to the Mid-Atlantic in recent years. True Valor, standing at Northview. Larry Johnson, thanks so much for visiting with us and telling us what's going on.
I appreciate, as always, the opportunity and more importantly, the opportunity to talk about True Value and True Valor and what I expect from him and why I expect that. So I look forward to, you know, a successful breeding year. I understand that it's tough for a new stallion because the stallion business is fraught with uncertainty. But I think this is an individual that has the kind of quality, pedigree, performance to have a good chance at stud. And now it's about providing him enough opportunities to show that.
All right, sounds good. Nick Hahn, we're going to kick it back to you. That was Larry Johnson talking about True Valor standing at Northview Stallion Station.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Johnson with his legacy farm, Bluemont, in Bluemont, the another beneficiary of this residency program that has been so successful. Where would his operation might have gone without that program? So it's just great. And, of course, won the Camptown Stakes at Colonial Downs with Spun Glass last summer. And some of his other horses, Zipline the Heaven, Strike the Moon, Sir Rockaport. You know, these are horses that go along with True Valor. Frank, we were on the phone literally about 10 minutes, unbeknownst to me at the time. I wasn't aware about 10 minutes before we did an interview ourselves and learned that Laurel wasn't racing this weekend, and basically racing has been suspended until further notice for racing fans, at least. Geez, I've read a little bit about it on the racingbiz.com. You've already got two different angles working on that story already. But tell us, what happened?
Well, that's a good question, Nick. Thursday, there was a meeting between track consultants that First Racing, which owns the Maryland Jockey Club, had brought in, and the horsemen. I've been led to believe that was somewhat contentious and maybe didn't go all that well. Thursday afternoon, one horse, there were two serious injuries. One horse had to be euthanized on the track. Another one was vanned off. The Maryland Racing Commission, the commission chairman told me that he had received a number of calls from horsemen who were concerned about it. So the commission kind of went to the Maryland Jockey Club and said, look, guys, we think it would be best if you took the weekend off to try to figure out what's going on. They agreed to do that, so they are not racing this weekend. The Maryland Horsemen's Association, the MTHA, has recommended that racing be shut down at Laurel and move to Pimlico starting next week. And they would like racing to remain shut down at Laurel until such time as a consultant that they have retained says that it's safe. However, the Maryland Jockey Club seems to believe that it is safe right now. And they announced that they're taking entries today for Thursday at Laurel. So I think this situation, it's not good right now, obviously, because we're not racing. And I think it's complicated and fluid, and there may be more disagreement to come.
Yeah, it's a shame about Laurel, the only track in the state right now with a working elevator.
You're not wrong about that.
We learned this week that we got to take the long way around to get to the press box when we head to the Preakness there in about 4 weeks. Tough situation there. Hopefully they'll find their way around it. Always sort of comes up this time of year, you know, how long are they going to run the Preakness in Baltimore? How long Preakness going to be in, you know, all these questions seem to surface this time of year. And even though there's resolution, that it just doesn't seem to follow through. They're just hard to get traction, I guess, up in Maryland.
Great.
Go ahead.
Issues with the track. And I just wanted to say the issues with the track surface, they need to get resolved. And there's a kind of a issue of a little bit of a lack of confidence that the sides have with each other, that the horsemen and the racetrack really, they're not quite seeing eye to eye. And I think it's very important that this kind of gets fixed. And so hopefully in the weeks to come, it will.
Not what Maryland Racing needed was another variable. And this one has a little bit of history in it as well. So, yep, hopefully they'll get it straight. We'll have racing back in Maryland where it's really needed. Thanks, Frank. Great job with Larry Johnson. And looking forward to seeing his horses run at Colonial this summer.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Great. Frank Vespi joining us on Off to the Races. And just another note of some events. It's just a busy time of year. The Middleburg Spring races are today. There's an 8-race card. You can certainly stream it. And the Temple Gwathney is actually the feature race, the 4th race, $100,000 purse in that race. Snap Decision is entered in that field, as well as Going Country, Belfast Banter, Ask Paddington, and Rhodesian. So those horses running in the feature at Middleburg. Also at Leesburg tomorrow, they have the second to the last point-to-point races. So that's what's happening with racing in Virginia at the moment. Just wanted to go through the field here quickly. We got Barry Spears coming in just a moment. Forte leads the point standings. Not as clear a favorite as he used to be, but still the favorite. Practical Move This will be your field for the Kentucky Derby, barring any setbacks or defections that lead up to the race. Remember, Rich Strike actually got in after the scratch of the, I fail to remember the name of the Lucas horse at the moment. That actually let Rich Strike into the field last year. Angel of Empire, Tappet Trice, another Pletcher horse, Two Fills, who we just talked about. Incidentally, with Two Fills, I just looked it up during Frank's interview. I hold a future ticket from the first pool for Two Fills, only because he started at Colonial Downs. He's 99-1. So Two Fills wins the Kentucky Derby. I'll be picking up two C notes off of a $2 bet. Very excited about those prospects. He wasn't even in the second future bet pool. Lord Miles, the Vexo horse, sixth. Derma Setagati is seventh. Kings Barnes, that's the Louisiana Derby winner, is eighth. Raise a Cane, Rocket Can. Hit Show is number 11. Confidence Game, Verifying. Sun Thunder, Wild on Ice, who was pretty sure that was the one that was supplemented. Mage, Blazing Sevens, Disarm, who just ran in the Lexington. Reincarnate make up the first 19. Continue R is the Japanese interest in the race. The first one out at the moment is Jace's Road. The second one out is Skinner, who would probably have Victor Espinoza on board, so trying to get into the Derby field. We asked for certain bumper music. Derby Bill usually does his feature for us during sometime during the week. I'll get his bumper music. Since he's not on, I asked Barry Spears to join in, the sniper, the urban handicapper, and he wouldn't give me any music, so I had to go find some of my own. This is what I came up with. I had to go looking for this a little bit. When I found it on some of his social media, I wasn't all that surprised until I looked at the video. And when I was looking at the video, I saw the Peanuts dancing to Don't Stop Till You Get Enough by Michael Jackson. Barry Spears joining us on Off to the Races. You know, you hear the Peanuts, and usually it's that groovy type of music. You don't, not expecting to see the Peanuts, even though I bet you Michael Jackson could do some of their moves, if you remember how the Peanuts dance, Linus and all that. Where did you find this piece of video?
Oh, man, that stuff's all over the internet. You'd be amazed what kind of nonsense you can find.
Joining us, are you in Daytona this morning?
Yes, I'm actually on the beach. Funny
on
enough.
The beach in Daytona. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. My daughter wanted to come use her surfboard, so we're out here.
How about that? Yeah, that's the life. Yeah, it's a tough Saturday schedule for you, I guess, spending it on the beach. Only thing is that it might be early. It's actually not early anymore. Barry, thanks for jumping in. Let's maybe start. We started a conversation the other day. I wanted to sort of keep it because we were really starting to get into some of these Derby horses, and I don't think it's not too early to start handicapping. In fact, it might even be a little bit late in terms of trying to assess this. Not everything's finalized, but we know who a substantial amount of the players are. Let's maybe start with Forte, a horse near and dear to Virginia breeding interest. Amy Moore is the breeder of the horse up at the Southgate Farm up there in Millwood, Virginia. Even though the horse is a Kentucky bred, spent a lot of time in Virginia as a weanling and a yearling, and has just progressed well on the track. Got the two wins, the Fountain of Youth. The big question with Forte is, how is he going to come out of that Florida Derby race? How big is to me, I want to see this horse, because that race may have taken a lot out of him. I'm going to be real eager to see what that horse looks like Wednesday, Thursday, Oaks Day before the Derby. Is that your read on Forte? Or
I think Forte got a lot out of that Florida Derby race. Because he was out wide, he didn't have the best post position. He had to run down a really good horse. I think it sets him up a lot better for the Derby than people may think, because it was a hard race. But I think a hard race is necessary for a Derby winner before they win.
Forte will likely have Irad Ortiz aboard. It breezed yesterday at Churchill Downs. He's on the grounds there. Just did, I think he did 5 furlongs and 102 or so, just breezing alongside stablemate Bright Future. There were a number of other horses that were working yesterday, including Angel of Empire. What do you make of this? Is this sort of a under-the-radar horse? You don't really hear that much about Angel of Empire.
I think that's a good assessment. I think he is flying under the radar a little bit. And I think it's because he didn't stick to one circuit to win his prep races. And he's been good in both of them. I don't think he's as far behind the top horses as people may want to think. And he might offer some value on Derby Day.
Tappet Trice is a horse you saw at Tampa Bay Downs. Worked four furlongs yesterday, 48-60. Three-fifths seconds, rather. What do you assess of Tappet Trice's? This is a horse, Todd Pletcher, Luis Saez. I was really impressed with his run in the Bluegrass. But you think I think this is a horse, if he runs in any trouble in the Kentucky Derby, I think he can survive a bump. He's just a big, muscular horse. What do you think of Tappet Trice? You might have a different angle.
Yeah, I definitely do. I saw him run a couple of times, and I think that he's going to have a lot of trouble in the Derby, because, A, he doesn't break that sharply, and he's kind of a locomotive type of horse where he has to get wound up a little bit. And if he gets stopped anywhere on the turn, where horses start to make their moves, he's going to be finished. So, and he has to be really, really wide. So I'm not so keen on his chances, even though he's run very, very well. I mean, there's scenarios where he could get a clear shot. Nobody, not a straw gets in his path. But I may be willing to bet against that on Derby Day.
The Japanese horses that are in the field, however they've arrived, Dermo Sotogaki and Continuar, who comes off of the European road to the Derby. What do we make of these interests? Historically, there's not a whole lot of success there. Is this a year of change?
I don't think this is the year, but they're getting closer. And it's something to pay attention to, especially for the Derma Sotogatsky horse. That one, speed figure-wise, fits very, very well with this group. And it's going to be interesting to see how they try to go about his trip on Derby Day. You know, a lot depends on the post position. But, I'm not sold on him being just like an outright speed horse like people want to believe. And it might be to his detriment that he's not, but we'll see. It's very interesting to see what's going to happen with that horse for sure.
Any other horses catching your eye? We did speak with Jareth Lubberry earlier in the show with Two Phils, who stock went way up after the Jeff Ruby Stakes, despite being run on the synthetic, the hard-spun horse. But anybody else catching, Two Phils catch your eye? Any other horses?
Two Phils for sure. A Practical Move is one I'm pretty high on right now, I especially after his last work. He looked really, really sharp. I think he's coming into the race the right way. He's got some gears in him. He can kind of start and stop and explode. And I think that's a good formula. Hopefully the post position gods are favorable for his post position. But we'll see. I'm ready, though. I'm ready for the Derby this year.
Wait, yeah. I mean, Practical Move, you bring up Practical Move. What do you make of Mandarin Hero? who basically ran even with them in the Santa Anita Derby, and Mandarin Hero doesn't get in. Is there, you know, is there a need for a format change here with the way they determine the Derby starters, or is
no,
that just
I don't
sort
think
of an
so.
Anomaly?
I think the idea is to have horses run in these races, in these prep races, and if they don't and they miss, then that's kind of on them. They need to plan a little bit better, I think. So we'll see how this shakes up, because, you know, there's a lot of coverage on it this year and a lot of eyes on it, especially with the Japanese runners. So maybe a change is imminent, but we'll have to see. But I tend to think keeping it the same way is probably best for now, with some slight changes to the earlier races, and that's it.
We didn't really discuss this earlier in the week, but did you happen to bring the racing program to the beach this morning?
Oh, definitely. I don't go
anywhere
okay,
so
that.
You're good.
Always
you're set up the handicap.
Pocket.
Let's look at the Oaklawn handicap. Let's maybe start there. We'll get to a race or two at Keeneland as well. But, you know, tell us your thoughts. Charge It is 8-5 in this Oaklawn handicap, a mile and an eighth, of course, at Oaklawn Park. Last Samurai's in this field, 2-1 proxy, pretty good race. What are your thoughts at Oaklawn today?
I'm leaning a lot towards Charge It just dominating this race. I think he, you know, the time off does him very, very well. Unfortunately, he's not on the track that much, so we can see him and enjoy him. But I think he's very, very talented, and I think he takes it today in what looks to be like a really competitive race, but I think he guts it out.
How about the Elkhorn at Keeneland today, the grade 2, mile and a half? We got Tis the Bomb in this group, which would be a bomb at 30-1, but a horse we know from McPeak. And, of course, Red Knight, 5-2. Coming off, this is a horse that really, after winning the Colonial Cup last summer, has started to gain wins. Maybe not at the highest of levels, but this might be a good spot for him. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm all in on Red Knight. Also, I mean, Maker in these like marathon turf races is really hard to beat, and it's just a matter of which Maker horse is going to fire. but I like Red Knight today for sure.
If you're picking the Kentucky Derby today, give us your top three.
I'd say Practical Move, Forte, and Mage, in that order.
Practical Move, Forte, and Mage. I'll see if I can get an update for you, for our listeners, on Derby Day of your selections as well. Barry, thanks for jumping in on Off to the Races. We're in the shadow of the wire here on this Saturday's show. Enjoy the weather from Daytona Beach.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Barry Spears joining us. I want to thank everybody who was part of the show today. We spoke with David Ingraham from Shenandoah Downs, Jareth Loveberry from Keeneland, Larry Johnson from Maryland, Frank Vespe interviewed him, and of course Barry Spears from Daytona. Tune in next Saturday. We'll have plenty more on the upcoming Derby. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. We'll see you next week, post time, 10 o'clock.